This is the day that the Lord has made. Lord, direct our thoughts, help us to pray, and lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Spirit of God fills the whole world.
Come, let us worship.
The processional hymn, Morning Has Broken. Welcome everybody to this service on the fourth Sunday before the penitential season of Lent. We have officially entered the season of spring, though with the chilly temperatures yet it may seem that it is still somewhat off, but nonetheless we notice the days lengthening, somewhat at least, and that first hymn reminds us of the change to come. The sweetness of the wet garden sprung in completeness where his feet pass. But we also call to mind those things which separate us from God, the things we have done but we ought not to have done, and the things we have not done which we ought to have done, and we ask his strength or help to do better. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. O God, our loving Father in heaven, we confess that we have sinned against you. We have broken your commandments. We have often been selfish, and we have not loved you as we should. For these and all our sins, forgive us, we pray, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you, you are forgiven, your sins are gone. Be strong in the Holy Spirit and live for God. Let us praise God for his mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The hymn, God is always near me. O God, you know us to be set in the midst of so many and great dangers that by reason of the frailty of our nature we cannot always stand upright. Grant to us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions.
The hymn, "O, the love of my Lord is the essence of all that I love here on earth."
Thank you.
words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, last Sunday, the Feast of the Presentation, the 2nd of February, was the last day of the official liturgical season of Christmas. So that is it, finally over until December this year. As I said, of course, the Christmas decorations are long gone. The cards have long been discarded, though the one last vestige for me is, although they've been taken down a long time ago, I have here all my Christmas cards. And the reason for that is I love to receive them, obviously, before Christmas and put them up. But I really, with all that's going on, and this may be the case for some of you as well, but it certainly is for me, I really don't have time to read and appreciate them properly. So, at different stages during the month of January, I take these and look at them more closely and see who they have come from, what they say, and what news may be in them, because some people, even in these busy times, do still maintain the tradition of sending an annual newsletter with these cards. Now, sometimes we wonder, don't we, about seasons, whether they exist at all or not now, because I suppose there shouldn't have been much surprise, but it does strike me each year in the day or two before Christmas Eve, at least some of the Easter eggs appear in the shop shelves. And certainly once the Christmas cards are gone in the shops, the Easter cards appear. And I do sometimes wonder why, because certainly I wouldn't even think of sending an Easter card to someone, particularly when Easter is that much later this year, not until the 20th of April. Before that, though, in the month of March, and if these cards aren't out, I haven't noticed yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if they are, cards for St. Patrick's Day. And certainly I do get some of these each year, not yet, but really for relatives far away in Canada, where postage takes a while, and to be sure of their arriving at their destination on time, one posts them that bit earlier. But still, that is more than a full month away, so I won't be doing that just yet. However, there is an occasion this month where some people may send cards, and this is just the 9th of February, so there is still time for the 14th. And it's blank. It's completely blank. For the one I love on Valentine's Day, from someone who loves you so much. Now, as I say, there's still time. I could make the excuse that I haven't decided who I'm going to send it to, but if I'm to send a card like that, I suppose I really would need to have someone in mind, because shall I just put it this way, these things just don't happen overnight, or so I'm told. No doubt, if people haven't readied themselves already, whether married, single, or whatever age, if one hasn't been bought so far, it will, I've no doubt, happen over those next few days. And it doesn't take much, actually. And we make similar criticisms of other festivals like Christmas. It doesn't take much to notice that Valentine's Day is very much marketed nowadays to couples every year. Shopping malls, sweet stores, restaurants are decorated as merchandise sales and reservations really come up. Some Christians criticize Valentine's Day, given its commercialism. Yet, it does not stray far from the stories of St. Valentine himself. And I just want to share some of those with you this morning. St. Valentine is a historical figure who is associated with the celebration of Valentine's Day. In early Christian history, there were several martyrs named Valentine, and scholars still debate the true identity of the St. Valentine who inspired the feast. And the most frequently cited historical account suggests that St. Valentine was an ordained minister in the ancient Roman Empire during the 3rd century AD. And the main story, or perhaps legend, tells us the following, that he was ordained, as I've said, imprisoned and persecuted for his faith. He was also imprisoned for marrying off soldiers of the Roman army. And at this time, married soldiers could avoid the call for military service during wartime. And another story is that Valentine was the Bishop of Terni in Italy. And the legend goes on that he was martyred in Rome and buried on the Via Flaminia, where a church was built over him. The date of Valentine's birth is still unknown, but based on the accounts of his life that have been found, it is widely believed that he was martyred on the 14th of February around the year 269 AD. The tradition in the church is that saints are honored on the anniversary of the date they died rather than their birth. And over time, this date has become associated with celebrating love and affection, leading to the modern St. Valentine's Day. However, it is important to note, as I've suggested, that historic details surrounding St. Valentine, they're not very well documented, and many aspects of the story have been embellished and romanticized over the centuries, as we ourselves would say about something we hear about and are a bit doubtful about all the details we've heard. It doesn't diminish in the telling. So St. Valentine's Day has evolved into a day for expressing love and affection to one's romantic partner, of course, but also to friends and family by exchanging gifts, cards, and gestures of kindness. And while the feast's origins are rooted in Christian tradition and martyrdom, it has, of course, also become a secular celebration of love and friendship, not just here in the United Kingdom, but in many parts of the world. As I've mentioned already, St. Valentine performed Christian marriages in secret at a time when the Roman Emperor Claudius II had banned marriage for young men, believing that unmarried soldiers made better fighters. And Valentine's actions in performing these marriages were seen as an act of defiance against the emperor's edict. He was, of course, arrested and eventually sentenced to death. And while in prison, he is said to have developed a close relationship with the jailer's daughter, to whom he wrote a farewell letter signed, "From Your Valentine," before his execution. And that is one of the earliest connections between St. Valentine and romantic love. Tying into the story of marrying off couples for men to avoid military service is the story of a miracle he is said to have performed during one of his trials. At this trial, Valentine challenged the judge, Asterius, on the validity of Jesus. And as a result, Asterius gave Valentine the task of proving the validity of Jesus by restoring the sight of his daughter. If he succeeded, the judge would do what was expected or asked of him. Valentine indeed restored the sight of the woman, shocking Asterius. But with this miracle performed before his eyes, Asterius not only proclaimed the validity of Jesus, but also broke the idols in his house and fasted for the next 3 days. And over those 3 days, Asterius is said to have been baptized with his daughter, the whole family, and over 44 members of his household. And after this, Asterius set free captive Christians from imprisonment. So while the official recognition of St. Valentine's Day came in the late 15th century, or 5th century rather, it was not widely celebrated as a day of romance in the church until many, many hundreds of years later, the 14th century. During and after his lifetime, especially in the High Middle Ages, the writing of love letters grew among couples of the Christian faith. The origin of writing to one's Valentine may very well come from this practice. And other gestures were incorporated on the day as time passed. Chocolates, sweets, roses, greeting cards, and jewelry. And even after the Reformation era, the feast day was still celebrated and recognized amongst Protestant circles. And to this day, Christians celebrate this day of romance. Some celebrate it by giving honor to Valentine himself. Others celebrate it as a fun and romantic gesture to their spouse or sweetheart. Regardless of how Christians celebrate and commemorate the day, lessons can be taken away from Valentine's life, particularly in how marriage is seen as a covenant between a male and female. Regardless of one's view on the sacrament of marriage, the act of marriage itself is highly praised and encouraged among Christian adults of various ages. For Valentine, it was as essential to perform marriage ceremonies for the glory of God, despite the possibility of persecution and even execution. And today, the relevance of his lifestyle and message can apply to us in the 21st century, whether married or single, because it isn't just to one's romantic partner that one may apply the lessons of love. As we heard this morning in the summary of Jesus' law, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So let us take this example of love for others and thought beyond self as this coming week we celebrate St. Valentine's Day. Amen. Would you please stand? We respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, Father.
Do you believe in God the Son? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This is the faith of the Church.
This is our faith. We believe in Jesus, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
The hymn, Christ Be Beside Me. Let us pray. Companions in Christ, knowing the loyalty and faithfulness of our Father in heaven, let us pray to him for the church and for our world. Keep all Christians firm and steadfast in their faith, with lives that witness clearly to the power of your love. Hear us, Father. Guide our leaders and all those in influential positions to uphold and promote Christian values. Hear us, Father. Be present in our homes and in our relationships, and increase our commitment to reconciliation, encouragement, and understanding of one another. Hear us, Father. Give reassurance and peace to all who are anxious, depressed, or confused, and make us aware of the needs of others. Hear us, Father. We thank you for the many blessings we receive each day, and in silence we pour out our individual reasons for gratitude. Hear us, Father. Creator God, Lord of our life, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, in darkness and in light, in trouble or in joy, help us to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gathering all our prayers and praises into one, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, for our sake you became poor.
May our lives and gifts enrich the life of your word.
Let us say together, be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight, for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Immediately following this service, there will be light refreshment served in the parochial hall in support of Christian Aid. And I do encourage you to go across and continue today's fellowship in less formal surroundings. Items for the food bank may be left today either in the church porch or in the hall porch. On Tuesday evening, a meeting of the Finance Committee in the rectory at 8 o'clock. On Wednesday evening, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the third Sunday before Lent, parish communion at 10 o'clock. And tomorrow week, Monday the 17th of February, the Mothers' Union will meet in the parochial hall. DVD will be shown on the origins and development of our parish, and all are welcome. This is the month where and when we revise the register of vestry persons, that is, the register of those eligible to stand and or vote for office in at the Easter Vestry, which will take place at the end of next month. If you have not previously registered, are aged 18 years and over, and subscribe to church funds, you may register by signing the appropriate form, which is on the table near the church entrance, and to which you may be directed by the church wardens or by the secretary to the vestry. The recessional hymn, Lord, for tomorrow and its needs, I do not pray.